All right, welcome to April 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristofaro. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because I am on a mission from Uncle Sam to make history as fun and exciting as one could possibly make a history podcast. By the way, if you're listening to this on iTunes, just so you know, I love a good review. So do me a solid and give me one. I'll be beginning today's podcast, as I do every day, with the Pledge of Allegiance. So, everybody stand up, face the flag, place your right hand over your hearts, and let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, very nice. Now, moving on to today's program, I'll wish a happy birthday to Thomas Jefferson.
News of the Civil War outbreak hits the press.
Plus, Tiger Woods will win his first major. And Massachusetts will celebrate Aerosmith Day. All right, well, let's jump into it then. 1743. And a happy 272nd birthday holla to the sage of Monticello, the man of the people, the apostle of democracy, Long Tom Jefferson. Yes, Thomas Jefferson, of course, drafted the Declaration of Independence and was our third president and did a lot of other stuff. But that's the boring part. If Jefferson were alive today, he would probably know how to make an iPhone app that could take us all to a sustainable location on Mars. I mean, it's astonishing the amount of books written about this man. Almost as astonishing as the fact that he had about 6,500 books in his personal library. I think I have two if I include the Cat in the Hat. In fact, after the British burned down the Library of Congress in the War of 1812, Jefferson offered out his library as a replacement. Problem solved. He wrote about 19,000 letters in his lifetime. And for extra credit class, check out his Monticello home. It's got 33 rooms in it. Most of them octagon in shape. Why? Because octagon was Jefferson's favorite shape. I've never heard of somebody having a favorite shape, actually. I'm not even sure what my favorite shape is. I'm thinking it's a toss-up of either round or a two-dimensional quadrilateral. If there is such a thing, then yeah, that's probably my favorite. Anyway, his friendship with John Adams nearly ended over the politics of the Federalist Party, and they became bitter rivals until the two men retired from politics and became friends again. In fact, Jefferson and Adams died on the same day, July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson disapproved of slavery, but get ready for some dirt now. He may have had a son named Eston Hemings from his slave, Sally Hemings. But then again, Jefferson also had four mockingbirds. And if you think that's obnoxious, he once broke his wrist because he was trying to act cute by jumping over a fence at a park in France to impress his girlfriend. Oops, I mean his painter and musician, Maria Causeway. 1861. War begun are the headlines on the Boston Globe. The South strikes the first blow. Albany Times Union. Seven batteries open fire on Fort Sumter. Fremont Journal. The war commenced. The New York Herald reported. Civil War had finally begun. A terrible fight is, at the moment, going on between Fort Sumter and the fortification by which it is surrounded. On April 12, nobody actually died in the first day of fighting except for two men in a 100-gun salute at the fort when a spark blew up a pile of nearby cartridges. But the next 4 years engulfed the nation into the bloodiest battle in American history, taking 600,000 people. In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine, is the momentous issue of the Civil War, said President Lincoln. Robert E. Lee once said, "This war was an unnecessary condition of affairs and might have been avoided if forbearance and wisdom had been practiced on both sides." Then again, Lee also once said, "This war is not about slavery." Fort Sumter, Charleston, North Carolina, the biggest port of the South at the time, was so badly in need of supplies it was vulnerable to attack, just like Fort Moultrie and Castle Pinckney nearby. From Kentucky, born June 14, 1805,
Robert Anderson had served in the Black Hawk War of 1832, the Second Seminole War of 1837 under Winfield Scott, and almost fatally wounded at the Battle of Molino del Rey, where he was promoted to Major, was now being sent to the unfinished Sumter to relieve the aging commander, Colonel John Gardner. On the 11th of April, Confederate General Pierre Beauregard demanded that Anderson abandon Sumter, but Anderson stalled for time, hoping to get supplies. Beauregard grew impatient and on April 12, 1861, 0430, opened fire. Anderson didn't return fire until 7 a.m., but the two battled it out until well into the next day after a shell lit the barracks inside the fort on fire. Anderson raised the white flag. The Yankees and rebels would fight mostly inconclusive battles throughout the rest of 1861 and 62, with the Union trying to capture the Confederate capital of Richmond, while the South would be defeated in September 1862 at Antietam. Robert E. Lee took command of the rebels and attacked up north, but was stopped in the bloodiest battle of all in Gettysburg. President Lincoln, after going through command changes, finally settled on General Ulysses Grant, who would successfully defeat the Confederate Army. After 4 years of fighting and bloodshed in Atlanta and Richmond, Lee finally would be the one to raise the white flag in the end. But for today, just like the Herald said, the war begun. Moving all the way up to 1997 now, and Tiger Woods wins his first major at age 21. You know, he started teeing off against Bob Hope when he was 2 years old. True story. In 1997, Tiger won the tournament in 12 strokes at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Very cool. It was the greatest performance by a golfer in 100 years. And then finally in 1993, Happy Arrowsmith Day, Massachusetts. Governor William Weld declared April 13th to be Aerosmith Day. It's fun to note that in the 1970s, Grateful Dead guitarist Jerry Garcia called the band the druggiest people he'd ever seen. Pot, meet kettle. Kettle, this is pot. Yeah, Jerry, but Aerosmith went to rehab in 1986 and made one of the biggest comebacks in rock history. Gotta love the irony on that one. By the way, Aerosmith was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001, and their greatest hits album has gone diamond, which means it sold over 10 million copies, and Aerosmith inspired the ride Rock and Roller Coaster at Disney's MGM Studios.
And that's it, my friends, for April 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you thought about today's program on the comment board. Thomas Jefferson fans, who can tell me why he was nicknamed the Apostle of Democracy? What stories would you have added to that? I know I could go on all day talking about just Thomas Jefferson alone. Too many good stories out there. Old West fans, what did you think of Robert Redford and Paul Newman in the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid movie? Aerosmith fans, what's your favorite song? I'm going to go way back and say my favorite Aerosmith song is Mama Kin. That's good stuff. So yeah, let me know what you think on the comment board. And while you're there, you can take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes that are on there. I have all sorts of categories for that. Now, moving on to tomorrow's program, I'll talk about the first Aero Squadron, Abraham Lincoln, the first NBA game at Madison Square Garden,
and the world's largest earlobe tunnel.
So thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.